Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, I'm Claire from Wild Ginger Running, the trail and ultra running YouTube channel, and this is the podcast version of my weekly live chat with an athlete, coach, or other running expert. The link to the original film on YouTube is in the show notes. Check out my Instagram and YouTube channel for more training advice, inspiration, and gear reviews. Everything is Wild Ginger Running, and my blog is wildgingerrunning.co.uk. Support me on Patreon if you enjoy this free advice at patreon.com/wildgingerrunning. Enjoy this podcast and see you next week for more. Hello everybody, it's the live Q&A on Wild Ginger Running. I'm back. I am the creator, Claire Maxted, and I have had a baby, and that is why I have not been around for the last 3 months, and Marcus Scottney and Jen Scottney have taken over the live broadcasts. So I am now back. Marcus and Jen are going to still do every other broadcast, and there might be a few guest broadcasters as well, but Steve has just taken baby Finley out for a walk, and I am here to answer your questions live on YouTube. So just while we wait for everyone to join, I'm just going to give you a little Finley update, because Guy has asked about him for the first question. So telling me how you are, and I'll pop your comments up onto the screen, and in the meantime I'll just start answering Guy's question first of all. So Guy says, great to see that you're back, how are you doing with the little one? And he's asking about the running show as well. So yep, so type your comments in the box and I will read some out in just a moment, but just as a little starter for 10 I will answer Guy's question. So how am I doing with the little one? Well, really, really good. He's a really, really good baby. This is the baby, Finley, here. Da 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 da. Isn't he cute? I had him on the 19th of January, if you didn't know, and he is super, super, super cute, really, really lovely little boy. And if I was better at getting back to sleep after he wakes up like 3 or 4 times in the night, then he would be such an easy baby, because he sleeps in the night, he just wakes up for feeding. So it's all my fault basically, but I think last night I had about 5 hours sleep. I've never known that I could survive on such little sleep. Really, really good practice for ultra running or FKTs, like multi-day adventures. Really, really good practice. If I had done Cape Wrath, or if I had had children before doing Cape Wrath Ultra, probably would have nailed it. So much easier. So here's a few Finley pictures just whilst everybody gathers. This is me trying to do a little bit of work. This is the Sabrina Virgie Pennine Way FKT film on my computer there. I'm just going through the edits for that whilst Finley watches on. He's my new colleague. And then this is me editing Vicky's review of the Coros Pace 2 with Finley in a little baby carrier just there. He appears to be trying to eat the side of it. He likes to chew on the side of it. And then this is me and Finn today. We went for a little walk to meet the other NCT people. So that's him. He slept for 3 hours solid in the pram today. So That was very pleasing. Annie's asleep now. His dad has just taken him out for a little walk. So let's read out some stuff. We've got people watching. We've got Hannah. Hannah is here. We've got Seb here. He says, welcome back. Thank you very much. Philip Haddock says, welcome back. Says hi to everyone as well. We've got Nigel watching as well. Hey, Nigel, how are you doing? He's Peter. I've got a question to answer from Peter later in the broadcast. So stay tuned, Peter. And Peter Krauthofer as well. I just replied to your very nice Facebook message, Peter, about my books. That's very kind of you. John, it's great to see you here as well. John, thank you. Fantastic People says, I am Col, or am I Col? Are you Col? Oh, I'm too sleep deprived to deal with this question. It's not even a question. Are you Col? Yes, I am Col, if that means cool. I am cool. Anyway, moving on. Sonia says hi as well. And oh, John wants recommendations for snowshoes. I would use those things you can get to put over any old shoe, John. I covered that, I think, last time's Q&A, like in the December Q&A. You can get basically these kind of ice spike things that you put on over your shoe. So I would go back to the last Q&A that I did, because I definitely covered that in that Q&A. And Peter says I can get chew pads for those baby oh, can you? All right, okay. Well, maybe I should just get a dummy and put that in. Chris is here as well. Jean says hi and welcome back. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for all your patience, everybody. Yeah, it's fantastic to be back. But yeah, it's only like just under 3 months. Finn was 11 weeks old yesterday. So it is quite hard being back at work already. I'm not doing as much, but I'm trying to just farm out as much as I can to as many different people as possible. So I hope you don't mind that there is a bit of a wider Wild Ginger Running team going on and they're not all ginger. Sorry about that. So Guy wants to know when the National Running Show is on. I'm really excited for events and shows and things like that starting again. Like, aren't you just so excited? I'm so ready to get back out there, aren't you? So there are two national running shows. One is in the South. So that's the first one. It's coming up in July 17th to 18th of July. So that is fab news. I am going to be there. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be there, like, unless something terrible happens. I'm going to be at that South show. It's in Farnborough. And what I imagine I'll be doing is a book signing with Bloomsbury and probably some kind of chit chat, like on the trail running, in the trail running area of some kind. It hasn't quite been decided yet. So I've only just kind of got back to work and sort of getting set up, communicating with people again. So I am planning to be there. I am also planning to be at the North one. Huh, they're calling it North. It's actually Birmingham, which is not really North, is it? Kind of Midlands, 22nd to 23rd of January, and that's 2022. Oh my goodness, we're talking about 2022 already. Wow. So that is just after Finley's first birthday. So I'm aiming to be there as well, all things going well. So that will be a fantastic opportunity if anybody is at those shows to come and say hello. It would be absolutely fantastic to meet you all. I can't wait to see you again if I've met you before, or meet you if you are a new patron or a new watcher of the channel. So that is the answer to your question there, Guy, and watch this space for what I am actually doing there. I'm probably going to sign books. Oh, this is the book here. It's called The Ultimate Trail Running Handbook. I wrote it a while ago and it's just been published this January, and it's all about trail running. So it's on Amazon if you want, and I'll link to it in the film description below as well. So it's all about trail running and how to get fit, confident and skilled up to go from 5k to 50k. There's loads of training plans in there, loads of nutrition, etc, etc, and loads of little stories from patrons and other friends of the channel as well. So definitely check that out, even if you've just fancy reading what the other patrons' little stories are, because there's loads of really cool stuff in there. Okay, the next question is also a patron-y type question. So, had a few new patrons during my maternity leave, which was really, really nice of you. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you to everybody who stuck with me during the maternity leave. That was really super kind of you. Some people even upped their pledges, which was really, really nice. Thank you a million times. It's just it's just, yeah, words cannot express. It's just amazing. Thank you. And so David Pollard wants to know if his buff has been dispatched. So basically, if you are a £10 or $10 patron and above, you get sent one of these rather nifty buffs after 3 months of loyalty. So David, I believe, joined in February, I think. So he is due to get a buff in May. So I said in the competition, I mentioned him as a new patron and I mentioned that he would be getting his buff. It will be May because it's 3 months of loyalty to get one of these. Don't worry if you don't want to be a $10 patron or a £10 patron. You can just buy a one-off buff from the shop on my website if you fancy it as well. Just wildgingerrunning.co.uk/shop. So there you go. And then the good thing about that is once we start going to races again, we will be able to see each other very clearly because of wearing the buff. So that will be sent to you in next month, David. But there are two people who are due one right now because they joined in January. So that's Catherine Roberts and Andrew Etiknap. So I might just send them all at once, to be honest, because I'm sure David will remain loyal. Great. Okay, so some more people are joining. That's fantastic. We've got Orange Goblin. Oh, interesting name. Paul Feely is here as well. Hello, Paul. Lovely to see you. Catherine Roberts says, evening, everyone. Lovely to have me back. Yay! It's lovely to be back. I love it. It's really nice. I was slightly panicked that the baby might kick off just before the broadcast, but no, everything is fine, and he is on a walk with his dad. Jen's watching as well. Hey, so Jen is watching. Oh, how flattering. Thank you so much, Jen. I didn't actually watch many of Jen and Marcus's broadcasts because guess what my new bedtime is? That's right, people, 7 o'clock. That is my new bedtime. I go to bed from like 7, actually it's usually like more like 8 by the time I've faffed around, had a shower, etc. So in bed 7, 8, and then I take over from Steve at 1 a.m. and I either get nil sleep or a bit of sleep. So it's good for me to have that block of time. So hello, Jen, and thank you so much to Jen and Marcus for doing those live broadcasts for me. They are going to do every other broadcast, so you'll see them doing next time as well. And congratulations for Marcus for his FKT on the Limestone Way just recently. And big up to Jen as well for supporting him, because since supporting Sabs on her Pennine Way FKT, I just realized how important that support team is and how everybody interviews like the elite athlete that's done the record, but actually it's the support team that really get them through. So congratulations to Jen as well. I think that is equally deserved, that praise. So Jen says that they sent me to sleep that early. Yeah, I do actually go to sleep listening to podcasts. My favourite one to fall asleep to is No Such Thing as a Fish, the people who do QI. So yeah, that is so quite possible, actually. ICT is watching as well, so they say hi everyone as well. Great, so there's lots of people watching live. We've covered the like little housekeeping things about personal stuff, and we're going to go on now to a really important question from Peter, who wants to know about summer shoes. So basically, Peter is after a pair of trail shoes for when the summer comes. So he's got some trail talons, so he's a big fan of Innovate because he thinks they're really comfy, and he says that they've been really good during the wetter season, but he wants now to look out for a summer shoe. So he said in another message that his the trails can get quite hard, and that's an interesting thing, and that's a little top secret that I'm going to let you in on in just a mo. But yeah, for a summer trail running shoe, it's kind of difficult because I'll just basically say what you need in a summer trail running shoe. But you want it to be like a little bit more breathable, maybe lightweight, but you've got to be careful here. You don't want to lack too much cushioning, and you don't want to go down in the drop. So the drop is the difference between the heel and the toe of the shoe. Oh, I've got a load of shoes here. I will show you. The drop is the difference between the heel and the toe of the shoe. So you can see here, this has got quite a substantial rise here. It's probably only about 4 mil, but the whole shoe is risen. It's like a platform shoe, isn't it? But yeah, you can see that the heel is basically bigger than the toe, so there's a bit of a drop going on there. So the thing with that is you've got to you don't want to drop too quickly. It can put a strain on your calf and your Achilles. So that's something to look out for when you are looking for kind of those lighter summer trail running shoes. Breathability is quite easy to test. You can literally blow through the shoe, like stick your hand in the shoe and kind of blow through the material. And, you know, the windier your hand feels, the more breathable that shoe is. And it's going to drain well as well if you jump into any puddles, and dry quickly too. So it's interesting that you said in the other message, Peter, that you have quite a lot of hard ground in the summer, because that is exactly the same for where I live. So there's lots of fields where I live, and it's kind of limestone, like clay on the ground. And to be honest, when it's been really, really sunny, it can be really hard, like almost like tarmac under the foot. And because the mud has been churned up when it's wet, when it dries, it's like this all over the place. So it's kind of like running on rocks. So to be honest, this is a little secret that I'll let you into here. I often use my road running shoes for running the trails around here when they're really dry, because they've got that bit more cushioning, and I need that for my type of feet. So that is just something to consider if those trails get really, really dry. The thing you wouldn't want to look for in a summer running shoe necessarily, I'll come onto that in a little bit in a second as well, is like you wouldn't want to go for a Gore-Tex shoe. You wouldn't usually go for a Gore-Tex trail running shoe anyway, because water tends to come in over the top and then you're just left with a shoe full of water because it doesn't drain out. So if you are going into somewhere that's like a muddy, boggy area regardless of the season, then waterproof socks plus a breathable drain, a quick draining shoe, is a good choice. But also there's several shoes on the market now which are kind of water resistant. Like I've got these a pair of Scott Supertrack RC2s that have this Sherla fabric on the outside, and that's kind of slightly thicker, slightly water resistant fabric, and it was absolutely fantastic during the winter because it wasn't completely waterproof, so the water did still drain out of it, but it wasn't so breathable that as soon as you step in a puddle you get a soaking wet foot, which was really handy for cold winter running. So I have got a shoe review out. I'll link up to it. It's actually in the film description below right now. It's called the Best Multi-Terrain Trail Running Shoe Review 2020, and Dave Taylor did that for me. He's a trail running guide and a coach up north in the Peak District, and he reviewed several shoes for me, and I just thought they would be ideal for summer running as well. So there's the Innovate Rocklite, there's the Salomon Sense Ride, or the Salomon Speed Cross, although the Speed Cross can be a little bit hot, but I've worn it in the summer. Yeah, I've worn it in America. I've worn it in hot weather, that's fine. There's the La Sportiva Captiva or Mutant. I know Sabrina Verdi uses a pair of the Mutants a lot in all weathers. Hoka Speed Goat, the one that I just showed you. That's quite a good one for the summer as well. Ultra Timp as well. And I mentioned the Scott Supertrack RC2 just earlier with the water-resistant fabric on. So you might not want to go for that as a summer shoe, but you might want to go for the Scott Kinabalu Ultra 2, because that looks to me from the website to be a little bit more breathable. And Paul Feely has just suggested them as well, so perfect. We've got some suggestions, so yeah, keep the shoe suggestions coming, because that's really interesting. But the main thing I wanted to say to you, Peter, is that I would not look at shoes as like summer shoes and winter shoes necessarily. I would choose a shoe based on the weather and the terrain conditions that I was going to run in. So like, for example, in Britain, in June, it has been known to snow. And you know, like if it's Scotland and it's June, it's a bit different to where I live and it's June. So I choose my shoe based on the conditions and the weather rather than what the season is. Basically, you're after a shoe which is very lightweight and breathable, probably for summer conditions, but they can vary, obviously, between country to country. So yeah, go for a light, breathable shoe, but with still enough cushioning for your level of need. We've got some suggestions coming in from people now, which is really, really handy. I should probably do a summer trail running shoe review, shouldn't I? John's just catching up with Marcus and Jen's broadcast. He said they were fab. So yeah, thanks again to Marcus and Jen for taking them over. Nadia's here. She says hi as well. Hi, Nadia. And Paul says he also wears road shoes in the summer trails as well. So yeah, it's just something to consider, because the reason to wear trail shoes is the grip, isn't it? Like the low profile and the grip. But if you're running on really hard packed trails, it's basically like tarmac and rock. So you might want to consider that if that is the type of terrain that you're running on. Adrian's here as well, that's fab. So we've got some examples here. Peter recently bought the Ultra Lone Peak 5. Yep, that's fantastic. So I think if they had Gore-Tex on them, they might be called the Ultra Lone Peak 5 GTX. So that's a good one. I know Ultra shoes are quite lightweight, they're quite breathable as well, so that's really cool. Paul says the Scott Kinabalu are great. Yep, mentioned those ones. Oh yeah, Brooks Cascadia. Yep, Catherine Roberts says they're quite cushioned and comfy on hard trails. And good on ultras, but not so good in the mud. Maybe they don't grip so well. And then the Speedcross are really good in mud, but they're not enough on dry hard trails. It's so hard to get that balance, isn't it? But that's why you should have a look at that review that Dave Taylor's done there, the best multi-terrain trail running shoe. I've got a picture of it so that you can find it easily. Where's it gone? It's here. So this is the trail running shoe review that Dave did for us. So if you just Google multi-terrain trail shoe review Wild Ginger Running, then you'll find it. And also it is in the film description below as well. So all of those shoes will be super good for summer running as well. Oh, Nigel's got a suggestion as well. A pair of Topo Mountain racers, which are a bit of an all-rounder. So yeah, you kind of want an all-rounder, don't you? Unless you want like a wardrobe of a million shoes, which I am close to having. Cool. And another advocate, Adrian here, he used to use his road shoes. Road shoes resold with Trail or Fell soles. Oh, that is really interesting. Yes, so before people started doing more of a cushioned trail running shoe, this was a really good option to get your road shoes resold with a trail sole. So that's a really interesting option. It's also worked really well for you if you find that your road shoes just fit you better than anything else, because it's really important to have a shoe that fits well above everything. I'd rather be sliding around in the mud and comfy of the foot than have a really grippy shoe that doesn't fit me and gives me blisters after about half a mile. So yeah, that's something to consider as well. So I would say, Peter, when the shops open again, go to your local independent running store, put on as many running shoes as you can, check how breathable it is by blowing through the fabric, and that should ensure that you get a nice, good summer running shoe. And if you can't get to any shops, then go online and buy about 6 and send them all back until you find the one you want. So I hope that answers your question for you there, Peter. Right, so the next question is about sunglasses, and it's from Ultra Class, which is a great name. Can't find anything from me about sunglasses. No, haven't actually done anything on sunglasses, so this is a really good opportunity for me to share my thoughts. So, need to do something on sunglasses. I put this out to Twitter because I have tested quite a lot of sunglasses in the past, and I've got some here that I'm just going to show you all. And these ones which I need to fix. And yeah, basically, sunglasses is, put it out on Twitter, and I've got some really, really good answers here. So I'm just going to just show you a few here. Right. Okay, so I put it out to the Twitterati, and there was one guy who thought that Scott Sports mountain bike glasses were quite good. So that's good if you want something that's definitely sporty, and wraps around the whole head. And then other people were saying Gooda, Oakley, Sunwise, Another shout out for Oakley, and also N Runners as well, which was new to me. Another shout out for Gooda. Lots of people are liking Gooda, which is interesting for the reasons I'm going to explain to you in a mo. So I've grabbed a few brands which you might want to look at, class. If you lose sunglasses a lot, then it's good to go for a cheaper brand. So you can get quite a few pairs of sunglasses for around like £25 to £35. So that's good if you tend to like sit on them or just lose them. When I was doing the coastal challenge, I went swimming in the sea after one of the days and I was wearing my sunglasses because they were really, really bright, obviously. And for some reason, I just thought that they were goggles. So I like dived into the waves wearing these sunglasses and they just completely just disappeared. And it was really sad because they were my favourite Adidas sunglasses. And I was really, really sad. The only thing that consoled me was the thought of a dolphin like popping up wearing my sunglasses. But I didn't see one. So yes, get a cheap pair if you tend to lose them or break them. He also asks about... photochromic, yeah, and prescription as well. So some people have prescription sunglasses and you can also get prescription photochromic ones or just photochromic ones. Photochromic ones are good because they adjust to the light levels. So say you go through a dark forest or there's some shady patch, then they will lighten up so that you can see and you don't have to put them over your head. So that's good. They'll just be a bit more expensive, that's the thing, because they've got more technology in them. Prescription sunglasses are also a really good idea for anybody that wears glasses, because then obviously you don't have to wear two pairs of glasses. And then you can get polarized as well, and that reduces the glare. So if you're going to be running, I don't know, like I've only used polarized stuff when there's been snow about, because I find that polarized sunglasses, I tend to find that I can't read my phone or my GPS watch very easily with a polarized lens. It sort of tends to kind of blur everything out. It gives a sheen to the screen. So I don't really go for polarized, but if you want polarized to reduce glare, then the cheaper ones will have like a film across the sunglasses, but the more expensive ones actually have that polarized element within the lens itself, so it won't scratch off. If that polarized glare stopper scratches off, it can actually be really horrible because you can get these like pinpricks of light kind of attacking you in the eye. So if you want polarized, it is good to kind of go a little bit more on the expensive side and get some good quality lenses. So sunglasses also come in like different darkness categories. So there's 1 to 4. So category 1 is like your safety glasses. They're just like white. You wouldn't say anything white, would you? They're just transparent glasses, you know, like a science lab. And then all the way up to 4, which is super, super dark. I never wear super, super dark ones because the moment you get in a forest, the moment you get a shade, you cannot see a thing. I go for category 3. And so most trail running sunglasses, I would say, were category 3. And they allow you to see like in most conditions. It's also worth considering the tint. So for example, one time I was testing sunglasses for Trail Running Magazine and I got sent a pair, it's not these ones, but I got sent a pair of ones which had like a grey lens and I felt really depressed wearing them because I realised, because I usually wear ones like this with I love a rosy tinted lens, everybody. So rosy tinted lens is just fantastic because it makes the sunset look brilliant, it makes everything look a little bit nicer than it is, and yet it shades you. I don't know how it does it, but it shades you. You can also go for like a blue tint, yellow tint as well, and some of the companies that I'm going to come on to in a minute will actually send you different lenses to clip into the sunglass, so that is worth considering as well. And then style as well. So you've got like quite a few sunglasses nowadays you can get that kind of look fashionable. Like this is just a fashion pair that I broke, oops. This is why you want to get a cheap pair. I did try to super glue them back on, but they have, yeah, I need to do it again. I've got some super glue just there. But Yeah, so some sunglasses look super fashionable, like this. You can actually get some running sunglasses that we'll see in a minute that look like this kind of thing. Or you can go for a bit more sporty looking like this. For me, for my running, I prefer a sporty looking one, but that's mainly because they slip down less. Like the ones that are more fashionable, they don't tend to have a rubberized nose area like these do. So for me, because I'm ginger, I have to slather on the sun cream and a sweaty nose, it slips down. So just be aware of that. A lot of the time with these plastic inserts here, these rubberized inserts, you get a choice. So this had two different ones depending on your nose size. You can get up to four with certain sunglasses as well. The other thing to look out for is this bit of rubber just here. Sometimes it's on the inside of the arm, so the red bit just there, that's rubberized as well, and that kind of clings on to the back of your head, to your hair, to your skin, and makes sure that the sunglass doesn't come off, because and this kind of sunglasses doesn't, because the last thing that you want, like this should be a good test of sunglasses, right? You should be able to put them on like that, then go like that, and then if they don't fall off, then winning at life, right? And then if you put them up there, they shouldn't just fall off. If they do, I saw someone do this tip the other day as well, like I've never done this before, I do it on my bike or my helmet, but if you put them like that, they can feel more secure, they just look a bit weird. So there's that. So have I mentioned everything? So yeah, so you want to like know whether you want to go for like a sporty style or more of a fashion style. It's totally up to you. Like you might want to also wear them down the pub, on the beach, etc., and you might not always want to look like you're about to do an Iron Man or something. So yeah, try them on, la-di-da-di-da-da. Let's see in the comments what people are saying, and then I've got a few suggestions just here. So la-di-da. Antonio Cardinelli is here. Hello, lovely to have you. Catherine Roberts says, my husband bought Gouda after I saw them recommended everywhere, but the coating on the lenses seems to have some kind of rubbed off, it seems to have rubbed off or scratched, even though he's tried to really look after them. Yeah, so I want to talk about Gouda because I've seen lots of runners, like bona fide runners, give Gouda sunglasses a really good review, and it makes me think, oh, I need to try them again. Because when they first came out, I got a pair through Trail Running Magazine, and I found that they don't have, let me just put, they're really funky, like they look like this. They look like that, and I just need to make that go above it. There we go. They're really funky. They've got really cool names like What Would Keith Do, A Tattoo You, Some Girls, etc. So they're really funky looking. But I'll make it big again. They don't have a rubber bit between the nose, and they don't have a rubber bit on the arm either. So for me and my sun-creamed sweaty face, they just used to slip down just a tiny amount, just like to there. It was so annoying. And the polarizedness to the lens, I'm afraid I couldn't see my phone during the run, and I couldn't see my watch screen either. So I didn't really rate them for running, if I'm totally honest with you, but I know that loads of people love them and they look really cool. So that was a shame. So I am going to recommend some completely different sunglasses to you guys. Seb says he is a big fan of polarized ski goggles, but he hasn't found them as useful for running. Yeah, I love a polarized ski goggles. That's the only time I've worn polarized stuff is in the snow for that flat light. And Gordon's here. Hey, special shout out for Gordon. Hello, Gordon. How are you doing? Thank you so much for your patron support. That's absolutely fantastic. Really, really kind of you. Adrian says, Oakley cost a fortune, but mine have lasted donkey's years. Wear them everywhere, good as new. And Nadia thinks that the Gouda ones are pretty as well. Yeah, so the Gouda ones are very pretty and very cool, very fashionable. But personally, they slip off my nose. They don't have grips here and here. And I literally just couldn't wear them for running, especially trail running when you're thumping about all over the place, aren't you? So I'm going to say no to those, unless they've changed. They may have changed. I should get a new pair and see what they're like. So then a lot of people on Twitter were giving a lot of love to this brand that I had not heard of before, and it's called MD.R. And these, as you can see, are kind of sporty looking, so they definitely have the rubber grip on the nose area just there, and they look like they curve around nicely to like really clip your head. They're a bit of a wraparound type design, so that means that your eye is fully covered, and they start from just £35, so they look really, really, really interesting. So I thought that would be a really good for you to look into, class, as well. So give them a go. Then the other kind of really inexpensive brand that I'm aware of and that I've tried before is Sunwise. So they have lots of different types of sunglasses, starting from like £30 all the way up to like £100 for the more sort of Oakley lookalike ones. And these are a really good option because they've got loads of different frame styles, so you'll probably be able to find something that's right for you. They have got some which look quite like the gooder ones, with no sort of rubber on the nose area, which wouldn't be good for me. But then when you get to the more expensive ones, like this Hastings Midnight one on the left here, and the Kennington White, they look more sporty, more wraparound, and they look really, really good. And then the ones at the top there, and one of the ones on the second row, can you see they've got different lenses that you can clip in and clip out? So that's quite useful, those different lenses. So they've got a white lens, a yellow lens, and then the shaded lens as well. So I find the white lens really useful if you do any cycling, kind of in the sort of kind of winter time, then using a clear lens is really useful for not getting bugs in your face. Equally, if you just run really, really fast, which I do not. So then the yellow ones are quite useful if you don't need too much of a shade. And then the normal ones are useful for running in nice sunny weather, like hopefully we're going to get in Britain. Well, we did today, didn't we? It was just freezing cold. So Sunwise, really, really good, really good value. Definitely recommend those. Then if you do want to invest a little bit in your sunglasses, I would really recommend Oakley. They are expensive. Let's not lie about that. They're definitely expensive. But I just really like them. They and if they have got a polarized lens, these ones haven't, then it's integral in the lens, so you don't have to, it won't get scratched off basically. So these are just perfect. These are the, I did make a note of these. These are like, nowadays, these are old model. They sell for like £115 now. They are called, what are they called? I wrote it down. The EV0 pitch with a red frame and sapphire iridium lens. So this is my rosy tinted spectacle. But I used to use the most popular running sunglass, which was the Radar Lockpath. So this is me on the Cape Wrath Ultra. You can't really see very well, but you can see that I'm wearing a pair of sunglasses on top of my visor, as I'm really cool. And they are the Radar Lockpaths. And so the Oakley Radars are really, really good running sunglasses. They're quite similar to them, these, but they look a bit more sporty. So they're a little bit more kind of sleek. They've got a venting in the top there. They've got a top bar that comes across, and they've got like some venting like there. They've got different thicknesses of nose rubber for different shaped noses, and they've got obviously this nice rubber here as well. So when you've got them off, they are not coming off. I can't find them. I don't know what's happened to them. I think they're just at the back of a drawer somewhere, because there's no way I would have parted with these unless they were just completely, like, I've had them literally for 10 years. That's how long they've lasted. I'm amazed I haven't sat on them or something. The last pair I sat on, I was on a seesaw and they fell off and I trod on them. So yeah, that's how insane I am with sunglasses. So I really looked after the Oakleys, and I've really looked after these ones as well, and they're really nice. I like the fact that they go around to the side there, because the sun can't get in from the side. If you're wearing a sort of a fashion sunglass like this, then you get, if you turn to the side, you get the sun in your eye just there as well. So that's what you want to look for, wraparound sunglasses, and that don't fall off your head when you wear them on the top of your head, like that. There was a couple of other ones I just wanted to mention because you might find them useful. So there's three more. There's some nice cheap sunglasses from Ron Hill. They go from like £30 to £50. I like the look of the £50 ones there, the Tokyo ones. They look pretty cool, so you could give them a go. Then also DHB from Wiggle. They do sunglasses as well. They do the sort of gooder type, kind of trendy type ones, and then a bit more expensive. They've got the more sporty type ones as well. But they're really good basic sunglasses if you want to go for the more sporty type there. So you could check them out as well. I'm sure I've tried them in the past and they're really good. And then the final pair of sunglasses that I just want to mention are from Sun God. Hello. Right, so these are really customizable. This is the main thing about Sun God. They're so customizable. So these are the ones that look a bit like those Gooder ones, like they're a bit fashionable and you can change the lens, you can change the color of the frame. You've got polarized or not polarized, and it doesn't cost you any different to make all those different changes. So these are £70 and they stay £70. They also have some more sporty type ones as well. So I think they're called the Valen, which are more of a wraparound style as well. So if you want to really customize your own, then they're a really good brand to go for as well. So for me, I'd either go super cheap, so I'd go for a Sunwise pair, something like that. I wouldn't go for the Gooder personally myself, but you might find them brilliant. Like, let me know in the comments below if you do find them really perfect, but I just found they slid down my nose and were really annoying. But yeah, my favourites are Oakley's because they just stick onto your face like, I was gonna say a squid, but I've never had a squid stuck on my face. But yeah, you know, like, it sticks really, really well. You can tell I've had 5 hours sleep, can't you? Making no sense. Right, let's have a look. Right, let's have a look at the comments about the glasses. So, oh yeah, loads of love for the Oakleys. Yep, there was loads of love on Twitter for the Oakleys as well. Gordon's has his for about 15 years and he keeps changing the lenses. Yeah, the lenses can get a little bit scratched. If you look just, can you see there? They've gotten a bit scratched. And I haven't used these a ton. Like, I've had them a couple of years now. 3 years. So yes, you could change the lens there if you want, and that's presumably cheaper than changing the whole sunglass and a bit more eco-friendly as well. Chris Williams says you get what you pay for. Yep, that's true, but if you're going to lose them all the time, then it doesn't make any sense to buy some really, really expensive ones. Okay, so Gordon's wife has got some gooders and she really likes them. That's cool. I'm glad. Yes, somebody, like loads of people, must really get on well with them. So it's a shame that I don't, because they are really, really cool. I would love them to work for me. Nigel has a pair of Sinners, yeah, for snowboarding, and ran in them and then sat on them by accident. Yeah, that totally sounds like me. yes, Sinners, I've heard of them. I've used them in the past when I've done tests for Trail Running Magazine. They are good. So yeah, definitely recommend those too. And Nadia doesn't like the rubber things. So yeah, if you don't like the rubber things, then definitely go for something like the Gooder, something a bit more fashionable as well. Brilliant. Okie dokie. So the next question, and oh, I think it's the final question actually. Gonna keep it nice and short and sweet tonight. The final question is from Maeve. So this is really exciting. So Maeve has entered a race. It's called the Piz Alpine. It's in Tyrol in Austria. It sounds amazing. Let me just show you Maeve's race here. So it looks really fab. It is 106 kilometers and it is with 6,100 meters of elevation. And the thing about this race that Maeve is concerned about is it starts at 11 p.m. So you saw the picture there with the man with the head torch on, starting at 11 p.m. approximately. So what she's saying is, does she need to train specifically for 11 p.m. start time, like keep staying up late and training at 11 p.m. at night, which she doesn't really want to do, and doing night running as well, or will she be okay, basically. She's done, she did another race in 2019 where she had to stay up all night because she was slow, and that was fine, but it did start at 8 a.m. So, yes, she says sleep is very important, and she doesn't want to train late at night like that. So, yeah, this is super interesting, Maeve, and I'm really glad that you asked this question because I just think it's really interesting, and lots of people will... I think lots of people will have lots of different opinions on this, but personally, I am of the opinion that if it's just a one-off, if you're not like an elite athlete or you're not kind of like gunning for some particular time, you're not taking it super, super seriously, you just want to go and have fun and experience this incredible race, which sounds like it is, then I wouldn't worry too much about the start time of 11 p.m. just because it's just a one-off. So I would personally find it more important to train for that distance, so train for that 106 kilometers, and I would definitely train for the hills as well, like so loads and loads of hill reps, like maybe two sessions of hill reps in your weekly training, and upping the length of time that you do those hill reps for as well, like, you know, like a 5 minute hill if you've got any 5 minute hills, and also I train for the downhills as well, because that's something that everybody always leaves out in this kind of race too. And then I think it would be really important to train on the type of terrain that you would expect to experience on that race. So I mean, if it's just going to be, you know, like these lovely manicured paths that you sometimes get in Europe, then great, that's fantastic. But if it's going to be like dead rocky and muddy and boggy and like whales off path, that kind of thing, then you definitely want to train for that as well. I think training for those kind of things would be more important than training at 11 p.m. and training yourself to be okay at 11 p.m. because when you're on the start line of that race, don't you think the adrenaline would just be like pushing you through? Like, I don't think you would necessarily have to train for that. What I would suggest maybe you could do is, if you do stay up till 11 p.m. at any time, you could just mentally prepare yourself for running at that time. So say you're, I don't know, going to go to bed at 11:30 one night. At 11 p.m. just think to yourself, right, now's the time when I would be on that start line. Visualize the start line at that time, all those head torches twinkling in the night and the mountains, and then that sunrise that you're going to see in the morning. Visualize all that and think to yourself, could I do this at this time? And just prepare yourself mentally in that way. And then if you are a bit worried about running at 11 p.m, you could just do a couple of, like, say 5k runs at 11, you know, like 11 till 11:30, just to be like, oh, this is what it feels like for me to run at 11 p.m. and, you know, to get just a little bit of a hang of when you'd want to eat your dinner, that kind of thing, like your nutrition for the race, because it is a long race. I'd probably have a really nice, like, big dinner about 7 or 8 or something like that, and then some snacks, like I don't know, some porridge or something, like an hour or 2 hours before, because you're going to be going quite slowly, aren't you? So you'll be able to digest that as you go. So yeah, I would say that it's more important to train for the distance, for the ascent and for the terrain, than actually to go out training at 11 p.m. all the time. But maybe if you wanted to visualize it mentally, or just do a couple of little 5Ks at 11 p.m. just to check, just to so you feel confident in your head that when you get to that start line, you're going to be like, yeah, I can totally nail this. So yes. And Maeve's actually here. Hello, Maeve. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm saying exactly what she wants to hear. Fantastic. Yeah, I just think if you don't take these things too seriously, then you don't have to train at this time. You know, like the UTMB, right? It starts at, what, 6 p.m. in the night? Are those elite athletes training and running through all the night? Probably not all the time. Like, they might do a couple like that just to see what it's like. But to be honest, I think it's more important to get lots of good sleep that week before. Make sure you're properly hydrated. Make sure you've eaten right. Make sure you're super excited about the race and not injured. That's more important, I think, than training at 11 p.m. But feel free to do a couple of runs. And Klaz is here as well. He says, thanks for all the sunglasses advice. I hope that you could pick through all the gabble there, Klaz, and get a good sunglass for you. Okay, so Paul says he finds it difficult to sleep the night before a race, so it might actually be an advantage to start a race at 11 p.m. That is such a good point, Paul. I really think you've got something there. Not many races start at 11 p.m., do they? And I I just think that's really exciting, don't you? Like running through the night, like with a load of other people, all those head torches bobbing around. I remember when I went, I was on Trail Running Magazine and I went to watch the Transvulcania. And I think it started at like 5 a.m. and it was dark and there was all these, there was these switchbacks to start and there was all these lights going up the switchbacks. And some of the photographers got some really beautiful shots, you know, where the head torch sort of goes like in a wave along and there was like runners and waves of light and it was just really, really pretty. It was like Christmas on the move. So yeah, so that's a good point there from Paul. It is really exciting to do something different like that. And that's going to be fantastic. You have to tell us all about that one, Maeve. And then Nadia freaks out when she has a race at 7 a.m. Yeah, I know. If anyone's done any triathlons ever, I did a triathlon. It started at like 5 a.m, which was ridiculous. It's like you have to get up at 3 to get there. Oh, insane. And then, oh, this is a really good point from Catherine here. You could have an afternoon nap, like 3 till 7 p.m. on the day of the race. That is such a good plan. Very, very good. I like the idea of that. I'm loving the afternoon naps at the moment, personally, myself, anyway. Cool. So Maeve says, that's brilliant. And Seb says, good luck with the race. It looks spectacular. Yes, running in the Austrian Alps in Tyrol. It looks absolutely amazing. Right, well, I am gonna cut this one nice and short because I have got through all the questions, and it's fantastic to be back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. And next week we'll have Jen and Marcus back again interviewing a guest of some kind. And then, do you know what I thought I might do? What I really want to do is interview other running YouTubers. So I was thinking of trying to get the Ginger Runner on. Like, what do you think? I don't know if he would come on. I was thinking about getting Kofozi, Ginger Runner, who else has a YouTube channel? Just forgotten. Oh yeah, Ben Parks as well. There's these guys like Run for Adventure, I think they're called. They're doing really well on YouTube. They've got like 15,000 subscribers. So I was gonna do like YouTube to YouTube type thing because we've done like loads of elite athletes and loads of coaches and stuff. So I thought this would be like a new area. But yeah, if you've got any ideas, then let me know. I have got a long list of ideas from patrons, and I am working my way through asking people. So basically they'll be on if they agree. but if they don't come on, it's not that I haven't ignored your suggestion. It's just that they either haven't got back to me or they just don't have time for an interview right now. Fab. Okay. So yeah, the Ginger Runner would be really cool, wouldn't it? Because we could be like two gingers together. It'd be like really fun. He's got like a trillion followers now, hasn't he? It's like, what has he got? Like over 100,000 subscribers. Like 170,000 subscribers. He's doing super well. So yeah, Seb says that he should be a good guest. Fab. Okay. That would be fun. Yay. Okay. So everybody likes that idea. Right. So I am going to go now and see if the baby is okay. So this is the little Baba. And he is rocking my world at the moment. Just in case you hadn't joined, this is me trying to work with Finley. He's my new little colleague here. And there we go. He's in a little sling. I'm just trying to send out some videos to be edited there. And then we met our NCT group today, and he slept in that pram for 3 hours, and now he's still sleeping again. I don't know how he has. He's doing great. Me and Steve, no sleep whatsoever. Fantastic. Okay, cool. Nigel says, good to see me again. Take care. It's good to see everybody. It's great to be back. And it's been really, really fun. So, yeah, enjoy Marcus and Jen next time. And I will see you in a fortnight. See you, everybody. Lovely to chat. Bye. Hi, it's Claire here. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. These live chats take place every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. UK time on World Ginger Running YouTube channel. And the link is in the show notes.
I just wanted to let you know that you can find this and loads more advice and inspiration and gear tests all about trail and ultra running on my YouTube channel, Wild Ginger Running. There are training tips, advice from elite athletes, top coaches, nutritious recipes, key exercises, injury prevention information, and tons of trail kit reviewed, from running packs to poles, waterproofs to head torches, GPS watches, and shoes, and did I mention shoes? I've been going for a few years now, so there's a huge archive of content to help you out with your trail and ultra running. To quickly and easily find the information you need, simply type your query into the Google search box and then write Wild Ginger Running after it. Then Google will show you whatever blog posts or films I have on that topic. Give it a try. And if you appreciate listening and all the information I share on YouTube, you're also very welcome to support me on Patreon, which gets you some additional excellent perks and the chance to win some awesome prizes. For as little as the price of a cup of coffee every month, patrons get discounts, extra films, access to the exclusive Facebook and Strava groups, the chance to ask questions to every live chat guest, plus automatic entry into my monthly competition to win £400 worth of trail and ultra running gear. There are only about 150 patrons, so the odds on a win are way better than the lottery. Interested? Find me at patreon.com/wildgingerrunning. Thanks for listening, guys. Have fun, enjoy your run, and I'll see you on the trails.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.